Thank you, Dr. Bachman. Appreciate that. You know, I don't want those visiting to think that we are a ministry without children. We have right now 7 junior churches going on for our children. And so that's where all the children are mostly. And then, of course, we have a special needs ministry in a Spanish department. So we have 9 other services going on right now. But I just didn't want those visiting. Wow, this is a church that doesn't believe in children. No, we have about 300 and maybe even 350 children. It's on property right now as well. Let's look back at this, if you will. We're in the book of Romans chapter 13 and verse 6, where the Bible says, "For this cause," it says, "pay ye tribute also," it says, "for," it says, "they are God's ministers." The word minister simply means servant. That's what it means, all right? And so the Bible says to pay tribute to those that are ministers or servants, if you will. The Bible says attending, it says continually upon this very thing. So it's not supposed to be a one and done. Other words, as I mentioned a few moments ago, when you see somebody that is serving and they're doing a good job of that, what are you supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to pay tribute. What's that mean? Well, that means you recognize them. That means you honor them. That means you respect them. Okay, and God says that that is a good thing for us to do. Romans chapter 13 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Render therefore," it says, "to all their duties." So don't just say, "Well, I appreciate what you do," but if you know some things that they do in particular, then all their duties would that be all the things that they do. So pay attention to what they do. I was talking yesterday when I was down at Baylor Scott & White down in Dallas, as Sarah was having the little one there. We had a nurse that was in the room with us in the waiting room, and as we begin to talk, I asked her, I said, "So what do you do?" And she said, "Well, I'm a pediatrician." And she said, "You know, it amazes me that there's so many people in the medical field and we're so diversely different. So diversely different." She said, "I'm a pediatrician. That is my specialty. But other people have a specialty too." Well, that's what this is talking about. The Bible talks about here, "Render therefore," it says, "to all their dues." Listen to it now. It says, "Pay tribute," it says, "is due." So to whom tribute is due, you pay that. The Bible talks about to custom. It says, "Fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." So understand that they have dues that are due to them in accordance to their duties, okay? Everybody does different duties, and so there's different dues that are due to them because of that. You know, some people, if you would please, that's been in law enforcement for a long time. I know we have, of course, different ones that's here in our church that have served in law enforcement, and now they're retired, okay? Well, still, there is dues that are due to them because of the duty that they did perform, okay? And so we understand that. You think about this. In the metro right now, there's 51 cities in the metro. And in the metro, those 51 cities have to be covered by so many different types of personnel. Just think about those that are officers that gave their life, and of course this is in the line of duty, including those working with the canines and things of that nature. You think about this, in 2021 there were 616 deaths nationwide, and 400, if you would, and 38 of them was because of COVID. It was the highest since 1930. Here, of course, in the metro, you would see that since April, there has been gunfire, there's been auto accidents, there's been medical, if you would please, teams that had to go in and be able to help, and other type of things as well, where you see that people put their lives on the line. In the state of Texas, in the year 2022, you see that it is one of the highest times of people that are giving their lives for that which is being in the line of duty so far. 14 because of COVID, 1 accidental, 4 by gunfire, vehicle related, of course, is 3, and these are officers now, police officers that have given their life, 1 by fire that lost his life. Then in the U.S., violent crime Right now, 1.3 million violent crimes was reported in 2020. 2021, violent crimes reached an all-time high in the U.S. When it comes to that, which is murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, it was 131,000 of those. Property crime, burglary, larceny, if you will, motor vehicle theft, 658,000 of those. And so there was a lot of different crime that was taking place. Think about those that served in fire and rescue. In 2020, there was 36,416,000 incidences. There was 1,388,500 fires in 2020. This is U.S. You'll see that there was false alarms, 2,760,000 false alarms. Those that had to have medical aid given to them while out on the street was 23,812,000. Those that had hazardous material involved in their medical emergency, 705,000. There was other calls that came in, coming in at 5,938,500. And of course, it just goes on and on about all the emergencies that took place in fire and rescue. Interesting, I found in the state of Texas, in 2022, 70% of all those that work in the fire department are volunteers, 70%. In Texas, you'll see that there's 65,000 people that's serving in the medical emergency services, serving 150 ambulances in the state of Texas. I believe that back in 1955, when the Los Angeles Police Department voted in what was going to be that which is their motto, it became that which was adopted across the United States, and that was this, to protect and to serve. I think that most police departments and all those that serve in other areas have that same type of motto, protect and to serve. So you have the emergency medical personnel. You have those that work with, of course, the fire and rescue. You have the police departments that work to be able to have peace and order. They're the peacemakers, if you would please, in society. And we're supposed to be able to look at them and to honor them for their services. And so what I would do is I would do that on a regular basis if I could. I want to give you some things that God teaches about these that do serve. Let me give you some statements this morning as we talk about this morning, and very significantly just that phrase, to serve and to protect. To serve and to protect. I believe you'll find this out, that no matter where a person serves, I believe you'll find those two words in service in their life as they serve their community. What is it? It's to serve. It's to serve, but it's also to protect. Whether it's protecting somebody's life because you're in the police force, or whether it's protecting somebody's life because you're part of a medical team that's an emergency team, you're trying to protect, you're trying to serve. Whether it's that one that serves through the fire department, you're trying to protect, you're trying to serve. So what does God have to say about that? Well, let's see where it all started, and let's just be able to notice some things. Statement number one, God created government and other ministries to help. So God is the one that created the government and all the other type of ministries in order to be able to help. Now, I want to use that word ministries as the word serving, because that's what the Bible is talking about. In the book of Romans chapter 13 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, the powers that are ordained of God. Whoso therefore resisteth the powers, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resisteth shall receive to themselves damnation." Listen to it in verse 3. The Bible says, "For rulers," it says, "are," it says, "not a terror of good works, but of evil." So there's supposed to be those that do good works. And by the way, if you're doing good, why would you ever have to fear? Here's what we understand. Wilt thou, it says, then not be afraid of the powers? think on it, if you will. It says, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise, it says, of the same. So he says, there's going to be a time to praise those that are doing that which is right, but then also those that decide to do wrong. Now you think about this, that all authority is God-made. It's a God-made thing, if you will. It's not a man-made thing. And so we're supposed to honor authority, and by honoring authority, we honor God. By dishonoring authority, we dishonor God, because God is the one that that raises up authority. God, if you will, is that which is sovereign when it comes to government. Now, when it comes to some individuals like Saddam Hussein, or when it comes to Hitler or Stalin, you understand this, that God established the principle of government to be in charge of a society and to lead it according to His will, according to God's will. So government is supposed to find out what the Creator wants, and as they find out what the Creator wants, then they decide that they're going to obey what the Creator wants, which is best for society. That's the way God set it up. So we understand, even our Constitution, if you would please, was written because we are a moral, God-fearing people. Oh, if America ever becomes a pagan nation, if America ever becomes an immoral nation, if America ever becomes a violent nation, and that's who we decide to elect into that which is the official offices whereby they have the power to make choices, then America is going to be likened onto the ones that they put in those hierarchy offices to govern us. We understand that God created government and all the ministries to help. Then statement number two, we understand this, that there's two reasons for government. Here's what it says. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13 and verse 4, he says this, he says, for he is a minister of God, it says, to do thee for good. All right, so one of the things that government is supposed to do is supposed to look out for your good. He is supposed to do that which is good. Other words, we're supposed to go out that are ministers, we're supposed to go out that are servants, and we're supposed to do good to the people. By the way, every police officer is supposed to do good to the people. Every personnel, if you would please, that serves in one of these other areas is supposed to be that which is doing good to that which is the people, but not just that. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13, verse 5, the Bible says, but thou, it says, do that which is evil, it says, be afraid. Be afraid. It says, for he beareth not the sword in vain. He is a minister. There's that word again, minister, a servant, if you would please. It says, of God. It says, listen to it, revenger, it says, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. You ever do this? You ever riding down the road? As you're riding down the road, all of a sudden you see a police car. What do? Oh, you check your seatbelt. You check to see if your license is updated. Maybe you look at your insurance. Maybe you see if your state license sticker is current. You know, maybe you look at your speed limit for sure. All right? Then you ever see people do this? I mean, it just really behooves me why they do it, but they'll be doing the speed limit. I'm talking about this is, they're doing the speed limit. You know, speed limit might be 70 as it is out there on 80. And so, and then 75 as you get further away from Dallas. But they're doing the speed limit. And all of a sudden they see a police car and they slow down to 50. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever, but that's what they do. Now, may I say this, okay? If you're doing evil, yes, you need to be fearful of that which is evil. But if you're doing good, you don't need to be fearful. Here's what the Bible taught. You know, it's amazing to me when preachers get up to preach. I tell people all the time, you can preach on the subject matter of hell as much as you want to. Well, it's not going to bother me. You say, well, why? Well, I'm saved. I know where I'm going. You can preach on that. I'm teaching right now a prophecy on Wednesday nights. You know, when I preach and teach on prophecy on Wednesday nights, can I tell you, it shouldn't bother you if you know where you're going. Because you know you're not going to be left behind during the time of the rapture. But can I tell you, it does bother people all of a sudden when a preacher of righteousness gets up, when all of a sudden they hear the truth. And they don't identify with the truth because they're living in their own persona. They're living in their own thoughts. And all of a sudden, when somebody gets up and they preach or they teach the truth, it bothers them. Why? Because they're not where they're supposed to be. That's the same it is with a person that's driving down the road. All of a sudden, if they're not doing what they should be doing, it sure does bother them. All right, here's what we understand. We understand that God created government and all the ministries of help. Then we see this, that there are two reasons for government. Now, what are they again? Two reasons for government: to do good. To do good. Government is supposed to do good. Oh, wait a minute. What's government supposed to do? They're supposed to be able to restrain evil. Restrain evil. That's what the government is supposed to do. Then we see this, that government officials and others are supposed to be servants of God. Servants of God. One thing we have in common, I don't care where you come from and I don't care where you're going, but one thing we do have in common is the fact that we are created to serve God. Now, you may serve God as a dentist. You may serve God as a lawyer. You may serve God as a law enforcement officer. You may serve God as part of a medical emergency personnel staff. You may do that. You may serve God with fire and rescue. You may do that. But all of us, it doesn't matter where we are in life, God created you to serve Him. That's why you were created. Now, can I say this? Romans chapter 13 and verse 4, the Bible says, it says that He is a minister of God. It says, watch it now or listen to it. It says, to thee for good. So we were created to be a minister of God. For what? For good. Isn't it good to be good to people? Isn't it good to be good to people? Isn't it good to walk into a room and be able to help people to see the very goodness of God? Isn't it good to be able to walk into a room and be able to help people see the positive instead of the negative? Isn't it good to be able to walk into a room and help people to understand that God does love you and God does care about you and God does want to answer your prayer and God does want to come through for you and God wants to help you? Isn't that a good thing to be able to understand? Here's what we understand. We see that we're a minister of God for what? For good. Then he says in Romans chapter 13, verse 4, the Bible says, for he is a minister of God. There it is again. All right. Then in Romans chapter 13, verse 6, the Bible says, for this cause, it says, pay tribute. Pay tribute. It says also, now what are you paying tribute for? You're paying tribute for the things that they do. There's dues again, as I mentioned, that for the things that they do, there are dues that we pay. My grandfather was a wonderful man. I never forgot how wonderful my grandfather was. One thing I have tried to practice all the days of my life is never forget my friends. Just never forget my friends. You know why? Because one day they were maybe a deep friend. Maybe they were somebody that helped me. Maybe they were somebody that encouraged me. Well, I'm never going to forget that. You know, just because somebody moves away doesn't mean you ought to forget them. Just because somebody, if you would please, changes, that doesn't mean you ought to forget them. Here's what the Bible says right here. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13 and verse 6, the Bible says, for this cause, it says, pay ye tribute also. It says, for they are God's ministers. So for those that go about and doing good in these particular areas of government, these government officials, who are they? They are servants of God. I love it how we can go into the offices of those that are congressmen and et cetera and remind them what they're there for. I love it to be able to enter into different areas and say, now let me just remind you, here's some things you need to consider. Okay? Those things are very, very important. You know, America was started by recognizing that which was the Creator. The reason America is today is because people came here to be able to escape religious persecution so that they could have a free religion, a free worship of God. Matter of fact, Jamestown, where the first settlers were, in the center hub of that community was a church. Do we understand that that the colleges, the earliest colleges, check your history out, you'll see that Yale was a college that trained people for religious services, trained people to be preachers and missionaries. Check your history out, you'll find out that Harvard was the same. Princeton was the same. They trained preachers. That's what they were established for. You go into the congressional, if you would please, buildings that's in Washington, D.C., you'll see inscribed on their walls a scripture everywhere. Matter of fact, if you go into the Supreme Court where the Supreme Court justices meet, you'll see that there's Moses on the wall with the Ten Commandments. Now, why is that? Because America was established as a Christian nation. It was established to be a place, even your coins. You know, your coins is a very witness of God. Your currency is a very witness of God. You look on your coins, it says, "In God we trust." You look on your currencies, "In God we trust." Now, why is that? Because of our heritage. You know, all over you'll see witnesses of the Supreme Being, God Himself. Even Congress today still opens up in prayer. Every time they have session, they open up in prayer. Now, you say, "Preacher, what is that all about?" Let's not forget who we are. Because of who we are who we are because He is the one that made us the way we are. You know, Christians ought to be submissive to those things that come to be. Oh, you say, "Preacher, but what happens one day all of a sudden if the whole world just goes chaotic?" Well, Daniel had that. Daniel, there was a law that was passed that said not to pray, and he said, "Well, I've got to obey God." And so he prayed. You think about Peter and James. They were told not to preach in Acts chapter 4, but they had to do what God told them to do. You think about the Egyptian midwives in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 17. They were told to butcher their boys, but what did they do? They decided to try and keep their children alive. May I say this, that God has given us the ability to be able to influence every officer that's in this room. Are you listening to me? Every medical emergency personnel is put in a position of influence. Oh, I remember when that guy was laying on the side of the road, and I remember when the medical personnel got there. You know, I've met some medical personnel that, boy, they're just as sweet as potato chips. I'm telling you, they're just nice. They're just sharp, you know. But can I tell you this? I met some that are sour. You know, you can be what you want to be. You can be what you want to be. Here's what we understand. How is it that we can help? Well, here's some practical ways to honor those that's in authority. Recognize them for their public service. Recognize them. Do good unto them as they serve. Do good unto them as they serve. Try and help them. What can you do? Well, don't try to disgrace them. Don't try to disgrace them. This thing about defunding the police and stuff like that. Don't try to disgrace them. What do you do? You vote to put the right type of people in office to be able to go the right direction. What do you do? You submit and you respect with cheerfulness those that serve in different capacities. What do? You serve beside them. You serve beside them. I remember when COVID was so bad, how we had many hospitals that we would carry baskets to, and they would go out every week, and being able to help the nurses and the doctors that was in those hospitals, we didn't want them to be forgotten. I mean, they were having to pull extra duty, and then we started serving our police department here in Mesquite. Because why? Because they were pulling extra duty. Now, I'm saying this. What do? You serve them. You give them, if you would please, that which is honor according to their service. And what do? You pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for their protection. Pray for their families. What do? You always continue to pray for them and then try to help them get in a spiritual place where their families can be helped. Can I say this? I've walked beside when I was in pastoring there in Tennessee. I remember we had two police officers. We had several police officers in our church, but two police officers that were twins. And these were outstanding young men. One worked, of course, for the police department there, and we again had several police officers attending our church, and one day one of the young men was heading home. One of them worked in a car. The other one worked down at the prison. The one that worked in the prison was coming back late at night, and he ran off the road. He fell asleep. He pulled double duty. fell asleep, went off the road, and was instantly killed as he hit a tree. And I remember meeting with that family, and I remember standing beside that family as we would pray before we would go in to view the body. And I reminded them to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord for those that receive Christ. So all you're seeing right there is just the body. That's it. That's it. His soul is gone. Soul's in heaven. Now the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. And I reminded them of that. I reminded them of the day that both brothers walked down the aisle. I never will forget it. The twins walked down the aisle, and it was on a big day that we had, and they'd raised their hand, and they walked down the aisle, and they asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And I remember them making that decision. And I reminded Mom and Dad that day. I said, you know, you'll see him again. It's not a goodbye. It's an I'll see you later. Because they'd settled in about the matter of receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. And can I say, one of the most important things a person could ever do in their life is settle the matter of receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. The Bible says, for by faith are you saved, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible talks about the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I never forget the day that somebody came to me and they showed me the plan of salvation. And as an 18-year-old boy, I bowed my heart and I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And he washed away my sin and he gave me that which is eternal life only through his Son. And when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, there was a weight inside of me that was taken off. Because as a young boy, I was trying to work my way to heaven. I was trying to do everything religiously right. But I could never be able to get that weight off of me. It just seemed like it was always there. I could never do enough religious good in order to merit heaven. Well, aren't you glad the Bible teaches us, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Aren't you glad that the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Not might, not possibly. Aren't you glad that we don't have to try and work our way to heaven? You don't have to try and be religiously right in order to go to heaven. You don't have to try and be a member of a certain church in order to go to heaven. Aren't you glad that you don't have to try and keep the seven sacraments or try and keep 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 of the Ten Commandments as found in the Old and the New Testament? Aren't you glad that there was a day that Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father, shed his blood on Calvary, and because of that, you and I, through him, receiving him and him only as our Savior, can be able to go to heaven. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ is the only way? You know, he said in John 14:6, and I'll close. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So there's not two ways to heaven. There's not three. There's not four. There's not five. There's only one, and that's Jesus Christ. And when I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, him only gives eternal life.